that ALAC is going to be submitting comments about their dismay about the applicant guidebook. And I can let Evan talk a little more about that. That would be terrific.
And Evan, hi, this is Debbie, everybody. If you don't mind giving this group a little bit of background about what ALAC is, because we're saying ALAC and they don't quite understand what that means. So if you could, if you don't mind taking a couple seconds to do that for this group, that would be great.
Sure, I'd be glad to. Thanks, Deborah. The At-Large Advisory Committee is a creation of ICANN to try and represent the billions of Internet end users. We do an imperfect job of it, but it's the best we can. We have what's called at-large structures, hundreds of them around the world, which is essentially any group that wants to join can. It can be anything from an accountants group to a computer club to an Internet Society chapter and more than that. So these groups and are meant to help bring the grassroots of ICANN's end users to bring that opinion into ICANN. The structure is a little bit different from the kind of constituency group that you're forming. The at-large group, similar to the government advisory group, is able to give advice on anything to do with ICANN, whether it's specific policies, the way it does its business, the way it looks to the world, or anything like that. And so we're involved. We come to each meeting. There's the At-Large Advisory Committee, which is the council at the top of that, comprises 15 people, three from each of the regions. I am the incoming vice chair. I'm based in Toronto, Canada. So what we have been doing is getting fairly deeply into ICANN policy, most notably the process being used to create new TLDs. We've been following this. There's a couple of things that are going on, but today we unanimously passed a resolution that I believe some of you have in your hands that is essentially a statement that says that in the current form there's a number of reasons why we consider the document against the public good, and we're asking ICANN to actually reconsider. This is probably not a widely popular view. There's lots of people that want the locomotive to keep going and open the floodgates. We still want to have a lot of TLDs out there for issues of consumer choice and reduced monopoly power. We think it's a good idea to have as many TLDs as possible, and in fact, if we had our druthers, we'd reduce the barriers to opening new ones. Having said that, the current process that ICANN is using is extremely cumbersome, extremely expensive, provides a whole bunch of obstacles to innovation and newcomers, and provides a lot of morality-based obstacles that we've been especially active in fighting. So just to essentially conclude with this, today, at the end of a very long policy, a long deliberation process, we produced the statement that you have in front of you. It's only 2 pages long. There's tons and tons of details behind it, but this is meant for a document to be read by the board, and we wanted it to be brief so they would consider it and it wouldn't be edited down on their behalf. And we'd like to think that the wording in it is clear and direct enough to bring across what we're thinking. If anybody's got any questions about it or about the process in general, I don't want to interrupt your own formative work, but this has been something that's been very important to us. And I guess it's part of the reason why you're here, is to be involved in the policies of how ICANN does its stuff. This is about as core as it gets, the creation of new TLDs. So this is why it's been very important to us, and I guess that's why Deborah's invited me here to talk to you a little bit about it.
Thank you so much. And to those of you who are just joining, I see a couple others that have joined. I see Alan who has joined and a couple others who have joined through the chat. Just wanted to make sure that you have access to the phone number if it is available. And if you need that, please email myself or Amber. We can get you that phone number. The other thing that I wanted to say is that I have read their comment and compared it with the comment that we provided on the applicant guidebook that's proposed, and it is my recommendation that we support it. I know that there are others in the community who may not, And it's also possible that others in the non-commercial community may not. But the points that are raised, and I'm saying this to those of you who helped me review the series of comments that we've proposed and offered over the course of this wonderful new GTLD program process review, I can say that what they're saying aligns with what we've been saying. I'm going to ask anybody on the phone to please mute their phone and take it off a speaker. Thank you. It would be my recommendation that we support the comment. I know that we have provided our own comments on the applicant guidebook, which have been posted, but I think it would be wonderful for us to support this as well, and that's my opinion.
Any thoughts on the call, Judy?
I'm fine with it.
Okay. Does anyone disagree?
By the way, for anybody that doesn't have it, I'm going to paste the draft of the final one that was approved in the Adobe Connect room as soon as I can get connected to it.
I think we're all seeking that connection. Is there any additional information that you would like before being asked to make a decision? Or are we good to go?
I think we're good to go, unless anybody feels differently.
No objection.
Sorry, one last thing. This is Evan. I just want to make the note that there has been a meeting today between members of the board and people who have been involved with some of the working groups that have been trying to recommend changes. So it is possible that the board, in their wisdom, by week's end, may in fact try and do some changes or may send it back. So although we've made an extremely strong statement, that statement exists, it's never going back. It's based on a snapshot of the applicant guidebook that exists today. It's totally possible, and in fact my hope, that there will be some very positive changes in the very near future that in fact may mitigate our criticism, which basically to me is a win-win.
And Evan, I would certainly agree. And I just want to say thank you again for stopping by. You're free to stay as long as you want, but we were sitting next to each other in a meeting, and I just wanted him to be able to hear what we're doing and to have the opportunity to collaborate. And Evan, what I want to say to the at-large community, I know you're outgoing, but just in general, and try to bridge some gaps. Oh, you're incoming. So I'm sorry. Just want to bridge some gaps between our proposed groups and the at-large community. And I know a little bit about some of the history, but not that much. And that's probably okay for our groups, because we find sometimes less is more as it relates to all that drama. And so we wanted you just to know that we're coming with open hearts, open minds, and trying to collaborate.
Perfect. Lack of baggage actually is quite the asset here.
All right, so what I will do for the list is tomorrow I will draft a one- or two-page sentenced letter that says that we support their comment, and then attach a copy of the final comment, and I'll copy the list when I do that. So thank you all for your participation and support.
Thank you.
Okay, so then the next item that we wanted to just briefly let you all know about is what Amber and I have been doing while we've been here in Cartagena. We have had the opportunity to speak with many of the stakeholder groups. If you all remember that wonderful chart that we shared with you about how ICANN is organized, we've had the opportunity to speak with the registries, the registrars, the commercial stakeholder group, and of course the NCSG, about our efforts, why we're passionate about being engaged in ICANN, And I can tell you we've had some really good conversations. We've had some really good questions asked that Amber and I are going to summarize for this group and probably send to the list hopefully sometime before the end of the year for your consideration so that you guys can hear what some of the questions were about our purpose and what we're trying to do. I think the other thing that's important for you all to know is the next topic that we're going to talk about is trying to find a way to work with the NCSG and the NCUC, which are the two existing organizations, to find a path forward. As you all remember, the NCSG is the stakeholder group under which we will be organized once we're formed. The NCUC, the non-commercial users constituency, I'm sorry, this feedback is driving me crazy. It's making me mess up. The non-commercial users constituency is the existing constituency group that we've been talking about. What we are hoping is that over the next several days that we can come together and develop a mission that is suitable for our purposes, but also is a result of some collaboration with the non-commercial users constituency and the executive committee of the non-commercial stakeholders group. And so Amber and I had a really good informal conversation on Sunday. We've continued those conversations with leadership of the NCSG over email. And we're hopeful that when the NCSG Executive Council meets with the SIC, the Structural Improvements Committee of the Board, on Thursday, that we'll have some positive things to share, that we are collaborating and working together, and that everybody thinks this is a good idea. We're not there yet, but I just wanted to let you know that Amber and I are working hard to try to collaborate. And I'm going to let Amber chime in a little bit about what her thoughts are about our efforts to collaborate and work with the existing non-commercial users.
So we have been asked to, as you know, our initial plan was to be the not-for-profit organizations constituency. They pointed out that this might sound redundant within the ICANN community, and we were up for negotiation on that point. And provided that we keep the acronym MPOC, since acronyms are so important to ICANN and we hold them near and dear, we did want to retain it, especially considering we do have the website and listserv and 6 months of talking up MPOC and a little more behind us. So they have asked that we put forward for your consideration changing the name to the Not-for-Profit Operational Concerns Constituency. And I know over the list there were a few concerns with that as well as with the mission, but why don't we just start with the name so you can let Debbie and I know what the concerns are so we can bring them back when we discuss next. I guess I should start with, are there any concerns with the name change?
I think that's fine, too.
Alon, are you on the phone? Can you speak up, whoever just spoke?
This is Judy. And I said I think it's fine.
Okay, so thank you so much, Judy. I was hoping that Alon was on the phone, but I think he's probably having dial issues.
And I'm actually going to have to drop off of the call.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us. Were there any quick words you wanted to state about the mission, or are you good to go on that point as well?
No, I'm good to go, and I just want to thank you guys for being there and doing all of this, and I'll be anxious to hear more.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, and we have Alon on Adobe Pro, and so I'm quickly typing him a message about concerns about the name.
And Amber, I was wondering if you could go over Lauren's question about what happens when there's a non-operational concern or related issue to ICANN.
Yeah, thank you. I'm still on the phone, and my concern was more not with the name, but more with the substance of the change and what that means.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question from both of you. And frankly, what we're trying to do is to play nice in the sandbox. And I don't know how more frank to be other than that.
I'm clear.
You know, I mean, there really isn't. I don't really know what else to say, Lauren, other than that. We thought not-for-profit organizations' constituency was clear, that we were a constituency of not-for-profit organizations. They thought that that was unclear. And so what we're trying to do is to find a name that allows the organizations that wish to stay affiliated with the NCUC and their advocacy interests to not feel disenfranchised when there is a new constituency that's focused more on infrastructure and operational type concerns, the type of concerns that we've been talking about for the past 6-7 months. And so how do you do that with a name that doesn't offend is really the issue. And what we told them, kind of tongue-in-cheek, and I really wasn't kidding, I said, I don't care, call us bananas, call us flowers, we don't care, we're just different. And so what we're really trying to do is to come up with a name that will be palatable to them, by also trying to demonstrate that we're willing to collaborate and we're willing to negotiate and work. And so, you know, we hear their feedback, and as a result of that, trying to demonstrate that we hear your feedback, you know, if we do this, will that help you accept our group? And we're still working through those issues.
So, Debbie and Amber, I guess it sounds like you are both comfortable that this doesn't in any way disempower you or the group's ability to have a voice within that constituency. Is that correct?
Yes. I think it's more optics than I would have more concern with strenuous or more additional changes to our mission rather than the name. I feel that the changes that we've made to the mission, and we can share those with you. Lauren, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I would have more concerns if they requested additional changes to the mission and made that more limiting. But I'm pleased with where we are right now and would recommend supporting that new language. The name thing for me, I think, is more optics and, you know, demonstrating that we're willing to play nice in the sandbox. And so what I would like to be able to go back to them and say, you know, we're really trying to collaborate with you. We've changed our name and we've changed our mission. What can you do to demonstrate that you're working with us, right? And so that's the perspective that I would love to be able to take back to the group, to be able to show that, you know, we're working with you.
Okay. Sounds good.
I am trying to chat over. I really wish Alon was on the phone, because I know he has very strong opinions about this, and so I'm trying to chat with him.
Is he in Canada right now?
I'll let you ask that question. Okay. Sorry, Lauren, I was paying half an ear, and that's a very bad thing. Do you want to restate your concerns about the mission, or...
No, I mean, I think that the question that I just posed about whether or not you're comfortable that does not limit your role or the voice that the constituency would otherwise have, if you're both comfortable with that, I'm fine.
Thank you. We appreciate that, and we have definitely noted your concerns, and if there is further rounds of discussion about the mission, we will keep those very close in mind if that is the case. So we are trying to get Alon dial in numbers and terrific. And do you on the phone have any questions for us about what's going on about in ICANN? And I'm sorry, I've been going solid for 12 hours now. My brain's starting to fry. if you have any questions for us about what's going on down here in Cartagena, and including if the taxis are still on strike, they aren't. We're very pleased. Any questions at all?
So here,
I wanted to ask how you guys were being received by other members of ICANN.
in terms of our proposed constituency group?
Well, I can tell you, I can give you feedback from each of our visits. How about that? So we went first. So we tried to schedule this throughout the day today, and all these constituency groups had meetings throughout the day, Lauren, and so I sent emails out, and we were able to get really positive responses from others saying we would love for you to have a presentation. So the first presentation was with the commercial stakeholders group, and that is a group contains the business users constituency, the ISP constituency, and the intellectual property constituency. And we provided our, 5-minute pitch about who we are, why we think we're important. And we received a wonderful, wonderful amount of support from Philip Shepard, from the business constituency, from J. Scott Evans, from the IPC constituency, from Tony Harris, from the ISP. So wonderful. We checked the box there with all those organizations. And, of course, we haven't seen the comments yet, but they have indicated that they would be willing to consider public comments during the public comment forum that would support the formation of the constituency. One question. Yes, go ahead.
And I think we forgot to make a huge announcement. Our charter was published for public comment on December 1st, and I truly believe I was remiss in sending that on the list because I've been traveling.
Okay. So our charter is out for public comment. It happened right before we all got on planes, and what we've been asking each group to do was to ask us questions, and that if they supported us to just to write a note in the public comment forum during that period, which ends on January 23rd. And so I think the commercial stakeholder group meeting went very well. They had some really good questions about how to distinguish the different types of organizations and that sort of thing, which we can follow up with in our more detailed briefing. The next group that we met with was the registries. Right, that was next?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The registries stakeholder group, which also asked really good questions about how we're different from the NC UC, the existing constituency. They also asked us a couple follow-up questions that we're going to try to make a list of and then give them some feedback. I mean, again, these presentations were like literally 5 and 10 minutes, so it's hard to get into the meat of what we're doing that's different in 5 or 10 minutes. But what I am going to try to do is kind of tighten up that elevator speech so that folks will understand that, our role is not just to be IP attorneys and advocate IP issues, that we're really concerned about, DNS threat issues and making sure our websites are up and operational, and that that's a lot different than just being, in the commercial group. So doing a lot of that nuanced explaining, I think, would be helpful for the registry's constituency. And then the final group that we met with was the registrars. And they had similar questions. Would you think that's fair? Am I right? And so they also had additional questions for us to follow up with. So I think what Amber and I got out of this was it was a great opportunity to put our message out there. What we got back was a lot of feedback on how to explain to the community the distinctions. And so while we even created the Q&A document, what I've learned, and I should have known this, you always make a document no longer than one page. So what I'm thinking we might want to do is to come up with a one-page document to the community that addresses all the questions that have been raised and get that out to each of the stakeholder groups so that they can understand why we think we're different and that sort of thing. So, Lauren, I hope that was a little long-winded, but I hope that helped and kind of describe the differences.
And, Alon, did I hear your voice on the phone?
Thank you.
Hello, Debbie?
Yes, hello.
This is Alain. I'm not sure you can hear me properly. There's a fair echo at my end.
We have an echo as well, but we can hear you. Please, please, share your thoughts.
Well, I hear you about the sandbox agreement, sandbox argument, but why is the name change not significant?
I can say that I think they believe that just calling it the not-for-profit organization's constituency would somehow devalue the fact that there are not-for-profit organizations already within the NCUC. And although we all know that they're talking about things in a very different way than what we would be talking about related to internet issues, they think that that name is not a proper characterization of what we're trying to achieve. And
I mean, there's somebody talking on the phone line other than you. I'm not sure who it is, but I don't think there's mute on the, everybody's line.
No, I think there's a line. Lines are crossing over.
Okay.
There's a conversation in Spanish going on.
Right.
But I'm not sure.
I mean, we can barely hear you.
Yeah. Maybe I think since Debbie, since you've perhaps you can hear me. Since you saw my arguments on email, I'm full of trust in the decision of our group of people, you and Amber and the group and your group down there. So if you think that our objective to serve the not-for-profit NGO community, our objectives are going to be met, then I guess the name shame is not significant. But I don't know if it seems to me that we should call a spade, that's all. And but anyway, we'll probably be have a better chance to understand each other on a better communication line when we meet face to face.
You share a lot of the frustration that Amber and I have shared together throughout this very challenging week. I can say that I hear exactly what you are saying and completely understand your perspective. What I'm trying to convey to you guys, probably not in the best way, is that a lot of this is when you've got a new group coming in, how do you react to new entrants? And as you guys have seen probably through some of the emails, they are reacting very strongly and trying to make sure that the voice of the existing voice isn't going to be lost because we're coming in and being added to the conversation. And while I would love to keep the name that we chose because I think it's a great name, I think we have an opportunity maybe to say, listen, if you will come out and support the formation of this organization and encourage the ICANN community to support it and to encourage the board to support it, if we decide to change our name and adjust our mission, because what we're willing to do is to give them two concessions to demonstrate that we're working with them. And I think that's a very interesting perspective for us to share with the board, even that, you know, we're not just trying to come in and shake things up and ignore them. Rather, we're trying to come in, we've worked with them, we've changed our name, we've edited our mission, we've gone to every stakeholder group, we've talked to them. I mean, I feel like the list of the things that we've done to reach out to the ICANN community, we've created a Q&A. You know, I mean, we've done a bunch of things. And so I think it just makes a nice statement. And I hear everything you're saying, Alon, about, you know, sometimes why it should be a line in the sand, maybe perhaps that we don't budge on. But I think we gain more capital by maybe letting this one go and then say, listen, now it's time for us to talk about approval. These are some things that we need you to help us do. Remember how accommodating we were before. We need you now to make a step towards the middle.
And to further on that, they have informally asked that our charter be linked to the NCSG proposed charter in its submission to the board. And so the Structural Improvements Committee is the ICANN group that all charter-esque type documents need to go through before they are submitted to the board. And so on Thursday, we are going to meet with representatives there and hopefully formalize that relationship. And what we're hoping that the linking of the two charters will do is that, A, hopefully it'll be voted upon either yay or nay at this point. I just want to vote by the board in San Francisco, which is in March of next year, as well as show the board that it's a package. It's one shot. There is another constituency group in formation that hopefully can catch up to where we are. My understanding of that group, it's consumer interest group, that they do not have a charter, all 22 fabulous pages of it yet drafted. I imagine that they are working on that and hope they are. And so the three will be presented together, and if the and so it'll be a package. It'll be a whole new NCSG. And Debbie's chomping.
I think the only thing that I would add there. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
Just a question on that. I'm sorry. This is Lauren. I remember in another meeting that we talked about the fact that their charter and everything had not been approved, but that it had also been pending for a long time. Does it?
You have a correct recollection.
Tie our materials there.
Right, and so that's a point that I've been mentioning to them, that I feel that by us agreeing to move with their track is actually detrimental to the path that we're on. But I think, again, that's another demonstration.
Hello?
Yes?
Hello, if you just give me one moment. I'm sorry, Debbie. Our tech support people have indicated that Adobe Connect automatically turns on the feedback in the microphone. So if you can turn off your volume on your computer, at the very least, if you can't figure out how to turn off the Adobe Connect volume, that would be much appreciated.
So to that point, I think, we've been going out and advocating. We haven't been, you know, talking a lot about differences. We've been talking about let's work together, let's sing kumbaya, let's be in the same, you know, hold hands and walk together. And I've explained to the NCSG that that's a huge shift for us. If you want us to walk with you, then you're going to have to also help us. Because you raise a point that I've been saying. I mean, to accept the NCSG charter would not only require some changes within their charter document, but require some bylaws amendments, which would make that process a little clunky. But the board has indicated that they're willing to move through these things quickly. So the only reason Amber and I were comfortable linking up these two efforts, Lauren, was because we had some hope that perhaps that would not delay our own path.
Because no one actually enjoys talking about
wonderful progress in a short amount of time. I would hate for that to be limited.
So would we. And there's a question in the
My name's Frank Fowley. I am here in my personal capacity as a director of a couple of not-for-profits. So the question that I had is, where is the pushback coming from in the NCUC?
I think the, and this is a huge disclaimer, I think the concern is that the historical nature of the NCUC being part of a it was a different, what was the stakeholder group named, Debbie?
No, they've always been the non-commercial users constituency. Remember when everybody redid and the houses and they became the stakeholders group. Really, the issue is that because they already have organizational members, that adding a new constituency is really a duplication. So the point
I understand the argument.
Right.
My question is, where is that pushback coming
where
from?
Where is it coming from? Yep. From a small group of very active members in the NCUC and NCSG leadership.
Okay, you know, I would simply point out to you that there are not-for-profits and non-governmental organizations represented in almost every structure in ICANN, not just that group, from the board of directors down. You know, we reserve seats on the board for liaisons for the ITU, which is an NGO.
I don't agree with that. ITU is not an NGO.
Well, it's an IGO.
It's United Nations agency.
Well, it's an international governmental organization that's a not-for-profit public good body. It is characteristic of a not-for-profit NGO body. And you know, they're spread throughout all the other constituencies and supporting organizations. I'd love to have an offline conversation.
The ITU is a very, very special case in the ICANN.
It is, but most cases in ICANN are very special cases.
When I think NGO, I think the little 20 people building houses in Ecuador or for poor people.
You know, we can also think of the Red International, the ICRC, the Red Cross, which is...
Who are members
of...
MPOC.
Okay. Good. And how do they describe themselves? As an NGO or not-for-profit?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
I mean, I am a member of the American Red Cross. I work for the American Red Cross, and I was supported in my... appointment by the ICRC, and they've been members of the NCUC for long before I was engaged.
And now they want to be a member of this constituency.
Right, because they were actually ready to remove their membership from the NCUC based on the types of conversations and the direction.
My advice, keep your name if you're happy with your name.
Ah, I like that advice.
I hear you.
Are there any questions, any other questions in the room? Thank you very much, Frank, for your thoughts. We greatly appreciate them. And, okay, everyone's shaking their heads here. Alon? Rosa?
I
go ahead, Alon. I'm sorry.
Debbie, this is Alain. Debbie, I'm here.
Yes, yes.
I need to sign off. I don't think I have any more new arguments to contribute anyway. So good luck with the rest of your work.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, we will send you some detailed emails about what's going on, and there'll be much to talk about when we return.
And we greatly appreciate you taking time out from your snow shoveling. I'm sorry you had to shovel snow so early in the season.
Good evening, everyone. Good talking to you.
Thank
all.
You.
Good night.
Thank you.
Take care.
Any other thoughts?
Thanks, Laura.
On the call, or are we about ready to conclude?
No, I'm done and probably going to sign off as well.
Okay, sounds wonderful. Thank you.
Good luck to you guys. Take care.
Thanks.
Okay, I think we will wrap up the call, and we greatly appreciate everyone who joined us today in person and remotely, and we look forward to working with and continuing to work with everyone. Thank you.
All right. Good luck, guys.
Good night, Rosa.
Good night, Rosa.
Good night. Bye.
Sure.
Oh, and sir, can we conclude the transcription?
Oh, with the ALAC link. The link for ALAC?